2:05 will be song of invitation after our lesson this evening. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 43. Number 43. And after this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Thank you so much, and I failed to realize, did not realize that Brother Tim Wilkes the second actually passed away during this past week, and his memorial service was done up in Hernando at the funeral home there yesterday. And I know that they're sad in regard to the matter. We support Tim Wilkes III, you know, as he goes toward the work that's over there in Philippines and all, and he's a special person and everything. I've talked with him more times than one about coming our way, giving a report, and he wants to do that. And I was hoping that that will yet come about in this regard. He is busy with activities that he's doing, even after he comes back from the particular work, and he does it quickly. He gets into activities with co-local congregations and personal work teachings and things like that that he does in a hurry. Good to see you tonight. Have you ever been in a storm 14 days and nights in a row? I don't know that any of us have ever had that to happen to us, but Paul had that to happen on his way toward Rome. If you turn with me in the Bible to Acts chapter 27 tonight, you'll notice a very special thing that happened to him as he was in that storm. Euroclydon is how I pronounce it. In verse 14 of Acts 27, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running unto the certain island which is called Clava, we had much work to come by the boat. Terrible situation was underway. They had all kinds of ideas. First off, they had an idea in regard to their sailing to begin with. Paul had mentioned to them that his concern was, in verse 10 of Acts 27, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion, who was in charge of 100-some prisoners of that were part of that ship, there were actually 286 men that were part of the travel in this event, and the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. And if by any means they might go to Phoenix, which was to winter, it was a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest of that island. And there's the noted passage of scripture that often preachers have used in years gone by. In Acts 27, verse 13, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by the island of Crete." And of course, that storm came, and it lasted, Acts 27 and verse 27, "And when the 14th night was come," 14 days and nights, because he'll say that here, and he'll repeat it in regard to this matter as we're going down a little bit. But Acts 27, 27, "And when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in the Adrian. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." And as sailors have been known to do in earlier days and times, and even today, there was the sounding forth of some solid and some sounding kind of vessel. And they sounded, and that was a 20 fathoms, 120 feet that were down. And now then, and a little while later, they sounded again, the 15 fathoms. That means that they had come to shore. They had come to a rising of the water and the dirt that was there for where they were coming to as they were doing that. And as a result of that, Paul would make mention of the fact that they have been there for this time. In verse 33 of Acts 27, he said, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some meat or bread," actually food, "saying, this is the day of the 14th day. This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat that this is for your health, for there shall not be a hair on the fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. And when they saw that he could eat, and that wasn't bad for him to have in his digestive tract, they came quickly up to him, and they took the bread also. They were eating there together. And he tells us in verse 37, we were in all in the ship, 200, threescore, 270, plus 16, 286 souls, men were there in that vessel. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship. And here's an odd thing. They didn't plan to come back to it because they cast the rest of the wheat for the bread. They cast it into the sea. Now, in this regard, they were a part of a storm that had come. What's the significance of this particular thing? I believe it's found in Acts 27, verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, he said, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And as they went along, they determined that they would be a part of this storm, and they would be managing in this storm, and somehow or another they decided that they would flee out of the ship, they would get out, they would get into various vessels that were there, make it available to them. And Paul turned to the centurion in verse 31 and said, this angel of God had told me that except you abide in the ship, you cannot be, and nobody can be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the ship, let her fall off. And when the day was coming, Paul besought them that they all should eat the bread and be there and be with it. And good things would come to them as a result of that. No life would be lost, not even, he says, a hair on their head would be missing. Young men are not always persuaded to be people who serve the cause of God. When we're in our youth, we find ourselves strong and powerful. We find ourselves lifting weights and gaining more muscle mass of our biceps and triceps and our back and our hips and our strength. And here we go. As a result of that, we feel invincible. We feel like that there is just no way in the world that we could miss out in regard to this matter of being strong enough to handle most any situation that comes up. But Jesus had said in Luke 18 and verse 1, as he gave them the parable about prayer, that they should always be people of prayer, and not to faint, not to lose strength. Be people of prayer. And without prayer a part of our lives, we have not taught our young people, nor have we learned ourselves, if we were failed to be taught the importance of prayer in our daily walk of life. We may have made it through, and we did make it through, but we need to be making it through a lot stronger. And prayer is said to give us the strength by Jesus' own words there in Luke 18:1. If we have ourselves in the midst of a trouble and a difficulty, we may very well have and not realize an angel of God standing by us. Because in the Word of God, we're told what to do. In Philippians 4, verse 8. After talking about all the kinds of difficulties that you may face at Philippi, Paul said, think on these things. And he talked about these things, and these things are positive things. These things are about love and peace and joy and happiness and glory, good strength that you have. And as we think about that, rather than think about the situation we're in, think about the, as David said this morning in the psalm that we read, the calamity that's in front of us, the calamity that we're in the midst of it. Instead of concentrating on the loss of this and this terrible thing that we're facing and how we're going to get past this thing, how we're going to get past this thing should have begun way back yonder when we were people of prayer and not losing our strength. Knowing that we were going to face some situations up ahead, the Lord promised to ever be with us and ever abide with us and ever be of help to us. And it may be that we have, unbeknownst to us, an angel of God standing by our side. And we need to thank God for the teaching that He gave us about the place of prayer and the strength that's come to us as a result of that. And now then we go into that situation thinking on these things of Philippians 4 verse 8. If we think on those things, He tells us that we will be blessed and we will be stronger. We will be people who are praised because of the work being done. Paul illustrated some of this in this regard when he had the bread and he ate first. Not because he was trying to get something that they didn't have, but so that they would know that the confidence was not in poison in what he was eating. It was strengthening to his body, and it would be strengthening to my body. They rushed to Paul at that time. They wanted that bread. Of course, with the days that they had fasted in regard to the storm that they were in, what would they have been in 14 days of that kind of up and down in the ship, up and down in the water, up and down in the wind, with their tummy full of food at that time? We have people get on board ships these days and they're both stable and everything, and they tell us about the various problems that they have when they get in there, and they have just a light movement of the waterways that they go through. And as a result, not much food is maintained. It's not much kept in the stomach that we got on shore when we get into such a thing as that. There was wisdom in regard to their waiting to this time, and Paul's illustration of an example to them of eating this bread and showing them that it was not hurtful to them and that they had eaten. And when it says in verse 38, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. They had come to the point where that ship was not going to be serving them anymore. And when they got out into the various boats, and everything, they got out on planks and siding of that ship, and they found themselves afloat and way that way he did, and they went into this island of Malta, and they found themselves there. And they found people that were just amazed that they were there. And the people at Rome had heard that they were coming, but they had not yet arrived. And there was a storm out there in the midst of the sea and all the kind of problems that they were going to face. And that, and had no idea whether they would or wouldn't be there. And what they found were people who were really, really nice to them and helpful to them. And Paul wanted to help the situation, so he went on out there. And as they were making a fire for the warmth of the occasion on the side of the shore, he went and found some sticks, and he found the sticks that were hollow sticks that had a viper, a snake within it. And as he began to put the limbs onto the fire, the heat of the fire, of course, caused that viper very poisonous, and the people there knew very poisonous, and came out of that and latched onto Paul's hand and held on to it. And these people there were just aghast at that, feeling like that this was a situation that would bring about swelling and immediate death on his part. Paul shook it off into the fire. had no repercussions from it. They thought not that he was a servant of God, whom he had declared to them in verse 23, "Whose God who I am and whom I serve." They thought he was the God. They thought he was a God like they had worshipped in their ways and their ideals about fertility of their souls, for example. They had found themselves worshipping the idols of the ways of time. But Paul could now show them and tell them about this God whom he was serving and whom he is serving continually. What a blessing it is to have this to be with us. Always serving God in the midst of a storm, 14 days and nights, still serving God, still believing what God's angel had told him. And as a result of this, he goes on. What can we believe of God's will and God's way? I believe it's found here as you get along to the word that we read about in Rome. When Paul finally arrived at Rome, we read there in Acts in 28 and down at verse number 11, "And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. They looked to the sky to see, and landing in Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass," that was a good thing to have, isn't it? "And came to Rhegium, and after 1 day the south wind blew," not the word softly to it, but it blew, "and we came the next day to Plutio. And when we were found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apiforum and 3 taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." And of course, by this time, this centurion was listening closer to Paul's request than he did before. I'd say going through a storm that the man says, "I don't know. The lading of the ship itself will be in danger. Our lives will be in danger if we go on in this matter." The owner of the ship says, "It's all right with him. Let's just go ahead," was his thought at that time. His thought now is, "You want a special soldier to be with you? That's all right." That's okay. And he's there with him. It came to pass, verse 17, "It came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, 'Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called you, to see you, and to speak with you. And because that for this hope of Israel, I am bound in this chain.' And they said unto him, 'We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed any or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. And as concerning this sect," this group that they'd heard about the religion and teaching, and Paul had called it a sect of a belief, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against. They had had others that had come to there from their families and from others that had come from the land of Palestine. And they had come and they had said, this is a terrible thing that's happened. It's created such an uproar. But to those who were saved from sin by the preaching of the gospel, what is said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so here it is that they had heard that this was a terrible thing, and what they were going to see would be a man who was serving this God of heaven and whom God blessed as a result of being there. Sad to say, in verse 24, it tells us what's happened even today. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. We still have that going on in every generation of time. Some believe the things that are said. Pray with faith. Gain strength as we go. Able to think on things that will bring us joy and bring others joy and happiness as we live in this world. No matter the troubles and troubles that we face, no matter the difficulties of the storms that come against us, we'll be people who serve this God of heaven and who serve Him in a righteous way. We'll not curse the storm. We'll not profane the storm. We'll not be people who find ourselves in lack of faith that we'll survive the storm. We may not. It may be that God takes us on home. He calls our name. He calls us home to Him. In the midst of a storm and a crisis like that, it may be that we go on. But we will have left an example to others who may survive this, that their belief and faith in God and doing the right things of the Lord is a way of truth and righteousness, a way of faith, hope, and charity, a way by which they live. It is noted there in Acts 28 and verse 25, and when they agreed among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken the word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, notice he's quoting Isaiah to them, and that's what the ones that wouldn't accept it turned and walked away. These were the words. And he says in verse 27 of Acts 28, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears full are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessings of God come in our life. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching these things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. Here was serving God in the midst of a storm, and what came out of it? He was still living and he's still able to do that. Other verses in the Bible seem to indicate that Paul was allowed some freedom and may have traveled all the way to Spain. He came back. He promised to come back. The ruling against him would cause his death. He came back. He was not afraid to die. And to Timothy, he writes the words in this letter in 2 Timothy 4 when he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And he involves you and me in the statements that he goes on to say. For he says, in this regard, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. The judgment day is coming. And not unto me only, but all those at Crockett, all those down the stream of time who love his appearing. Do we have that belief that he's coming back someday, like he said? Enough in our heart that no matter the storms that we face in life, we'll go through it. If we go through it, we ask God's will to be with us. And we pray for God's will to always be with us. And if it is the fact that the Lord sees that there's so much up ahead, we cannot face it successfully without passing away this earthly life. Death may be allowed to come at our door and take us home. But the Lord steps in and says, no, no. Death, you cannot have this one. This one lived by faith, prayed by faith, went through storms of life by faith. This one is mine. You cannot have him. I hope that'll be the case for each one of us as we face the storms of life. If they take us, we'll enjoy a place on the other side at the Lord's right hand. When Paul wrote that, he wrote that many years ago. We still believe that it is so. As we stand together and sing this song of encouragement tonight. This day.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him here is always worth it. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep, when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go.
Table's been left prepared. Is there anyone tonight who needs to take?